Reprint 4691, October 1st, 1910. Watchman, what of the night? From The Life of Faith. Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh. Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. The 19th century beheld perhaps the most amazing progress the Church of Christ has ever experienced. A little more than 100 years ago, there was no Bible study. Today, 3 Anglo-Saxon Bible studies alone pour forth annually over 10 million portions of the Scriptures, in 400 to 500 languages of the world. Can any imagination conceive the spiritual effect of this mighty river of truth pouring itself upon all mankind? A little more than 100 years ago, missionary societies, apart from the Jesuit and Moravian, were practically unknown. In 1909, there were 19,875 missionaries scattered as living epistles of Christ through the heathen world. It would be difficult to say what was the membership of God's church when the century dawned, but it is now computed that the membership of Protestant evangelical communions is not less than 140 to 150 millions. It is possible that eternity will reveal to us that the 19th century was the richest toward God of any century in the world's history. Nor does God's worldwide advance slacken. The last decade is probably the most wonderful of all. The morning cometh. More educated converts have been won in India in the last 2 decades than in the whole preceding century. Bishop Mole of Mid-China says that when he first landed in that empire, it held less than 50 Protestant Christians. In the first decade of the 20th century, there have been 16,000 martyrs, and nearly 2,000 missionaries are now planted throughout China. A little over 20 years ago, the Christians in all Korea numbered 7. In 1908 alone, there were 50,000 converts, and at a recent conference of 1,200 laymen, some walked for 10 days to enjoy the Bible study. In Tokachi Prison, in Kokedo, Japan, a spiritual movement sweeping through it in 1908 brought nearly 2,000 of the inmates to Christ, and most of the prison officials have been baptized. 4 years later, after the Welsh revival, in spite of the reaction, from 60 to 70,000 converts were known to be established in church fellowship. The Census Bureau of the United States reports that between 1890 and 1906, an average of 8 new churches had been built every day. It has been recently stated that within the last decade, more Jews have become believers, it is, of course, but an approximate computation, than in all the 1700 years after Paul. All these are but symptoms of a work of the Holy Spirit which is nothing short of stupendous. For the first time since our Lord ascended, nearly the whole world is now open to the gospel and is being penetrated by heralds of the cross. The year 1908 was a phenomenal one in missionary advance. 164,674 native members were added to the church, or an average of 500 a day. Nor is the heroism of the cross confined to any Christian group. Dr. Ambrose Shepherd recently met a young Roman Catholic priest in a railway carriage on a farewell visit to his mother before leaving for the Congo. "When do you expect to come back?" Dr. Shepherd asked. "Never," was the reply. "We have buried 15 already, and the average period of life is about 2 years." And when the young priest arose to take farewell, in a voice that trembled with emotion, he said, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." The watchman said, "And also the night." The facts are not more antithetical than are the words of the watchman. "Of no time in the history of the world," said the Times recently, "are so many signs of general unrest recorded as those which seem to confront us today." Or, in the words of the Bible Society's report, 1909, quote, "The horoscope of the future is written over with signs of incalculable change," end of quote. As the Reverend James Johnston pointed out to us in his A Century of Missions, the heathen and Mohammedan population of the world counts more by 200 millions than 100 years ago, while the converts and their families number less than 3 millions, a 70-fold increase of the darkness over the light. There are millions more of heathen souls in China today than when the first Protestant missionary landed 100 years ago. For every convert added to the church, 1,000 souls are added to Chinese heathendom by mere growth of population. If our plans of education be followed up, said Lord Macaulay in 1836, there will not be a single idolater among the respectable classes in Bengal 30 years hence. Today there is a false god for every member of the population of India, between 200 and 300 millions. In Japan, there are 450 heathen temples for every single Christian missionary. There are 400 million of mankind who have not had a leaf of the Bible in their 2,700 languages and dialects. Nor is faith what it was in the lands of faith. In 1908, in the state church in Berlin alone, the fall in membership was 10,000 persons. The Bible Society reports that the sale of the scriptures is falling. In Liverpool, the third city of the empire, in 1881, 40 seats out of every 100 were filled at morning worship in the free churches. In 1891, 31. In 1902, 25. In 1908, 12. So also evening attendance has fallen from 57 in every 100 seats in 1881 to 28 in 1908. Tom Paine's work, says the editor of the Freethinker, is now carried on by the descendants of his persecutors. All he said about the Bible is being said in substance by Orthodox divines from chairs of theology. In the last census in France, 8 million enrolled themselves as atheists. We have driven Jesus Christ, says the Premier M. Briand, out of the army, the navy, the schools, the hospitals, the lunatic asylums, and the orphanages. We must now drive him out of the state altogether. This decay in faith is already producing its inevitable recoil in morality. While the population of the United States has grown 100%, crime has increased by 400%. The decade of unprecedented revivals in Wales, Madagascar, Korea, China is the decade of unparalleled earthquakes at Valparaiso, San Francisco, Jamaica, Messina. It would seem as if grace is speaking her loudest as the earth trembles with premonitory judgments. The vast revival in Muslim lands, the flood of infidel literature which Japan is pouring into China, a fourth of the human race, the mushroom growth of such spiritisms as spiritualism and Christian Science, the actual rumors of the rebuilding of Babylon and the temple, the watchman said, and also the night. The watchman said, if ye will inquire, inquire ye. If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And if the lamp of prophecy be extinguished, how inextricable is the confusion? Inquire ye. Why inquire? Because the future which God has revealed is the future which I ought to know, because without a knowledge of prophecy, the present workings of God are plunged in unintelligible mystery, because prophecy uncovers the pitfalls that lie in our path, because a knowledge of the future is of incalculable importance in shaping the present. Hear the watchman's mournful undertone. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. It is a strange irony of the situation that worldly eyes can read the signs more acutely than the general church. Says a novelist, whose works sell by the 100,000 in many languages, quote, all things that Christ prophesied are coming to pass so quickly that I wonder more people do not realize it, and I especially wonder at the laxity and apathy of the churches, except for the fact that this also was prophesied. Some of us will live to see a time of terror, and that before very long. The blasphemous things which are being done in the world today cannot go on much longer without punishment. We know by history that deliberate scorn of God and divine things has always been meant by retribution of a sudden and terrible nature, and it will be so again. End of quote. Prophecy is the profoundest pessimism and the profoundest optimism. It is profoundly pessimistic of all that a Christ-rejecting generation is about to do. It is profoundly optimistic of all that an almighty and an all-gracious God will effect in the imminent establishment of His kingdom. Dr. Kelman recently asked an eminent American man of science his solution of the problems of modern city life. "An emperor," came the answer, swift and decisive. "An emperor?" asked Dr. Kelman, in surprise. "I thought you had done with all that in America. Besides, your emperor would need to be a very wonderful man, incapable of mistakes, and extraordinarily competent for leadership." "Precisely," was the quiet answer. "And we know the man. We are waiting for him, and his name is Messiah." "The thrill of that reply," says Dr. Kelman, "will never leave me." The watchman said, "Turn ye, come." It may be that some unbelieving eyes may alight upon these words. The rabbis expound the watchman who speaks here as the Messiah. So it is, "Turn ye, repentance toward God, and come, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Why thus turn and come? Because to press forward, if we are right, is to press forward amid perhaps the mightiest operations ever put forth on a worldwide scale by the Holy Spirit. The difficulty in the world today is not to find God, but to escape Him. Because every moment that a world hardens itself against divine light, an atmosphere is being produced in which it is every moment more difficult to believe. Because if to Chorazin and Bethsaida, after 3 years of gospel opportunity, Jesus said, "It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon," shall it not also be said of our cities after 1,000 years of opportunity? Because 1,900 years ago the night was far spent and the day was at hand, there can be no time to lose now. The day before the wall of fire rolled down on St. Pierre, the telephone clerk spoke to the Fort de France, saying that the people were fleeing. Next morning at 8:10, he was heard to exclaim, "My God, it is here," and he was afterwards found with the receiver in his hand, burnt to a cinder. Watchman, what of the night? That is, what hour of the night is it? Little children, it is the last hour. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. That was reprint 4691. Watchman, what of the night? From The Life of Faith.